3. Royal Palace, City of Talkeera, Kingdom of Delphirak. What do you think they really want, Philip? Iris Dakin's tone was calm as she gazed across the dinner table's empty plates at her legal guardian, but the hazel eyes she'd inherited from her dead mother were darker than could have been explained solely by the lamp's dimness. "Mostly, I think, what they've said, Your Highness," Philip Osgood, Earl of Corus, shrugged. "Oh, I don't doubt they've got more in mind than they've actually said so far. But as far as what that more might be, your guess is almost certainly as good as mine," he said. And he meant it, too. Iris Dakin might be only 17 years old. Not quite 16 in the years of the planet upon which humanity had actually evolved, but she was scarcely a typical 17-year-old. Not even a typical 17-year-old princess. "I don't expect they've issued their invitation, let's call it, because of their vast concern for Divan, though." Corus's tone was biting. He wouldn't have let anyone else hear him using it about the group of four. But neither he nor Iris had any illusions about that particular quartet, and no one else was present. At the same time, the man who had been Prince Hector of Coruscant's spymaster for so many years continued, "I think it could probably be worse than it actually is. At least they're not insisting that two of you accompany me." "Why should they bother to invite me, whatever their motives?" Iris's face had tightened, and Corus found himself nodding in acknowledgement. He'd meant his final sentence at least partly as an attempt at humor, but he wasn't really surprised after the fact that it had fallen flat. And he no more doubted than Iris did that, as far as the group of four was concerned, she herself had very little value. Her little brother Divan was the legitimate prince of Coruscant. Even Caleb and Charlian of Caris acknowledged that much, even if he was currently in exile. But Iris, she was simply a sort of unimportant second thought. She had no intrinsic value as a political pawn in the group of four's eyes, and they certainly weren't going to waste any time worrying about what a fugitive princess in exile, subsisting solely, so far as they knew at any rate, upon the niggardly generosity of distant relatives, might think. Which was incredibly foolish of them, in Philip Osgood's opinion, no matter how reasonable they obviously thought it was. So far, anyway, it was entirely possible they would eventually learn the error of their ways. Probably quite painfully, he thought with a certain undeniable satisfaction. "I'm afraid you have a point about that, from their perspective at least," he said in answer to her question. "On the other hand, my own point stands, I think. If they had any immediate plans where Divan is concerned, they'd probably insist I'd drag him along as well." Despite the very real affection in which she held her guardian, and despite her own worries, Iris couldn't quite keep from grinning at Corus's sour tone. It wasn't really funny, of course. A journey of the next best thing to 9,000 miles would scarcely have been a mere jaunt in the country, even in the middle of summer. With winter coming on fast, it was going to be a highly unpleasant experience, no matter what happened. And its final stage had the potential to be actively dangerous, for that matter. "You don't think it's just because of how hard the trip's going to be?" she asked, indirectly voicing her own worry where Corus was concerned. "No, I don't." The Earl's lips tightened, and he shook his head. "Ducairn would probably worry about that, especially given Divan's age. Even Trenaire might consider it, for that matter, if only because of his awareness of Divan's potential value. I doubt it would even cross Magwer's mind to worry about dragging a 9-year-old through hip-deep snow, though. And Clintan." Corus broke off and shrugged, and it was Iris's turn to nod. Vicar Zomson Trenaire was probably as cold-blooded and calculating a chancellor as the Church of God Awaiting had ever produced in all the 9 dusty centuries since the day of creation. He was far more likely to regard Divan Dakin purely as a potential political asset than as a little boy whose father had been brutally murdered. And by all reports, Alain Maguire, the church's captain general, had about as much imagination as a worn-out boot. Expecting it to occur to him to worry about Divan would have been as foolish as it would futile. And then there was Jaspar Clinton. Iris no more doubted than Corus did that the Grand Inquisitor would simply have looked blankly at anyone who might have had the temerity to suggest he should bother his own head one way or the other about Divan's well-being. If they were contemplating any significant change in their calculations where he's concerned, they might want him in Zion where he'd be handy, the Earl continued. For that matter, I think Clinton at least would want the opportunity to impress Divan with just how serious an interest the Inquisitor and his associates take in him. He shook his head. No, I'm inclined to think it's pretty much exactly what Trenaire's message suggests it is. They want to be sure I fully understand their plans for him. And to get my own impressions of the situation in Coruscant, of course.